Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
memory
of what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I love
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh, what joy to me.
They bring to me
how I
long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their grave near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church.
We have to pray for.
All right. Good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, this morning, as your word is open, we ask of the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us. And Father, we pray for each and every one that will hear the message this morning, to have a desire to learn more of your word and the depth of it, so that it will help them to walk more with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in their lives, Father, so that they can always remember to keep him lifted up with praise, honor, and glory. Because, Father, we give him thanks for the things he's given to us. Because all that we have, we know he has allowed us to have it. Now be with us throughout the remainder of this service this morning, Father. And we're asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, has anybody got a testimony or anything they want to say? All right.
Okay. Thank the Lord in this service. One more time, I thank the Lord for you picking me up, and I don't take it for granted. Every moment of my life, I want to praise God.
Right.
Because I appreciate every moment of my life, because God is in my moment. God is in my life. And I thank God for this church and for what everybody that came, and I pray that God, people who are destroyed because of our knowledge, hope, and I thank God that he has great plans for your ministry, and he's with you.
Thank you, Sister B. All right. Anyone else? No one else? We're going to get Brother Dennis up here, see what God has given him this week for us.
Good morning, everyone. All righty. Before we get started, I want to ask you a question. where you want to go, heaven or hell? The obvious answer is you want to go to heaven. You would think that would be the obvious answer anyway, but do you know that you're going there? That's the better question. So that's ultimately what our message is going to be talking about today, but I want to talk about a couple of things before we get into the reading here. I've been talking to several people over the course of the past week, and there was one gentleman I was talking to, and I asked him the very question, you know, you want to go to heaven or you want to go to hell? He literally said, well, I want to go to heaven. I says, do you know the steps you need to take to go to heaven? He said, absolutely. I asked him, and he described perfectly to the letter what he had to do to go to heaven. I says, then why aren't you doing these things? He literally said, because I can't. He says, in his mind, because he was in war and did things in war that he knew were bad, that he could never be forgiven for those things. And I tried to explain to him, no, that's not true. There's only two things you can do that will keep you out of heaven. And believe it or not, whether you realize it or not, you've technically already done two of those things. Not the bad things, but the two of the things that get you into heaven. That's repenting. Obviously, he's repentant of what he did or seen or was a part of. And he's got guilt over it. That's part of repentance anyway. He had the guilt. He's confessed it many times. So he was more than halfway home. But in his mind, he couldn't come to grasp what the saving grace of Jesus was. Still working with that one. Talked to another gentleman. This was a younger fella, I guess 24, 25. He's interested in the word. However, he wasn't interested in the repentant part. He was all interested in the word, wanted to hear the word, wanted to learn the word, wanted to become part of it. But because he's at that age, he just wanted to be part of the world. I said, look, you can't do that. Once you make up your mind, you got to stop. Now it's a choice. Everything's a choice. While it's freely given, it's not necessarily free. You've got to do something. And the thing that you got to do is you got to repent. You got to stop doing all these things. You can't sleep with 50 women or whatever the case may be. You got to stop. And then I explained to him, you just never know when your time's up. It could be on your drive home. I could literally be standing up here right now, have a heart attack and die. Just never know when the good Lord's going to call on you. So that's why it's important to not only spread the word, but make sure people understand the word that you're spreading. And talking about how things can change at the moment of a notice. And speaking of war, a week ago, well, let me give you a little background. We've been in Afghanistan for 20 years now. During the course of that 20 years, there's been missionaries over there. There's been soldiers over there that were Christian. There's been all kinds of stuff. There are many, many Christians in Afghanistan. They literally went from being able to do what we're doing right now, have church services, gather together, study the word together, and then literally overnight, they were being beheaded. Things can change just that quickly, and they can change just that quickly here in this country as well. I mean, you've seen what happened just a year ago with the so-called pandemic, how things changed. It don't take but just a moment of a notice to make things swap over to the evil side. It really, truthfully don't. That's why it's important to get into the Word of God, to read the Bible, to understand, question your pastor, your deacon, or anybody else that's knowledgeable about the Bible, and get more knowledge into it, get deeper into the faith. Because I'm telling you, when what's happening in Afghanistan happens here, and the Bible says it will. If you don't have a good, strong faith, you're not going to make it. You're going to go to hell instead of heaven, because it says those who are faithful to the end are the ones that shall go. So with that being said, I want to read something to you today. It's rather long. And it being so long, I don't know how much discussion we'll get into it, but I want to read the whole thing, because I don't think I've ever heard anybody read the entire thing in one setting before, because it is long. But it's so if you'll turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, and I can say this is long, very long actually. We're going to start with verse 3, and every word that I'm going to read today is literally straight out of the mouth of Jesus. And ultimately, in my opinion, it's one of the greatest sermons ever taught. Teaches you pretty much everything that we've been talking about today. So, Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil things against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its flavor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light shine before men, they that may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot, one tittle shall in likewise pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whosoever, therefore, shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But so whoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it said by them of old, thou shalt not kill, and whoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother and without cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift unto the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. For first reconcile to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst there are in a way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence until thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Ye have heard that it said by them of old times, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman and lustful after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and that not the whole body should perish and be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. It hath been said, whoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto thee, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. Again, you have heard that it hath been said of them by old times, thou shalt not forwear thyself for that perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, neither shall thou swear by thine head, because thou canst make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. You have heard it said, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that you resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn the left to him also. And if any man sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him take thy cloak as well. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile with him, go twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto thee, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise up on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans do the same? And if ye salute your brother only what you do more than others, do not even the publicans do that? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou dost thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou dost alms, let not thine left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, that they have their reward. But thou when thou pray, enterest into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of, before ye even ask of them. After this manner therefore pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear upon men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, wash thy face, that thou may appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not upon yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth, rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up your treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break in nor steal. For where your treasures are, there will be your heart also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thine whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they are? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, and ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye shall need all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things that shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto today is the evil thereof. Judge not that you be judged, that you be not judged. For with the judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured upon you again. And while And why beholdest thou the mote that is not in thine brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold a beam in his own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote that's in thy brother's eye. Give not that which is unholy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will be given a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your own children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law of the prophets. Enter ye at the strait gate, for wide is that is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, figs, and thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that hath unto me, that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of thy Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we not cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken to him a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doth them not shall be likened unto the foolish man which built his house upon sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Again, that, I think, pretty much sums up the whole of the New Testament right there. It truly does. It's got everything that you need to understand. And one thing that, excuse me just a second, let me get a drink of water here. Over the course of the years, I don't know why people say this, but I've heard it many, many, many times, that this, what we just read, was directed strictly to the Jews. Well, I got news for them. I don't know too many Jews that read the New Testament, so I'm going to have to disagree with them.
Amen.
That was directed at me and you, and these are things for you and I to do. Everything, every word in here is absolute truth, and the Bible is actually built upon these words because they are the literal words of Jesus Christ, which is God. So these are the words of God. So, and it pretty much, I was talking from the beginning, telling you what you had to do and how you had to live and what you had to be to go to heaven. Well, there it is. All in one little thing. And I understand I'm not a very good speaker. My eyes ain't as good as they used to be, so my reading isn't as perfect as it was, should be. But I hope at least, because it was read all at one time, like I say, I've never, not even once, heard anybody read the entire sermon in one setting before. They'll just pick out one little part that they want to talk on. But when you listen to and read the whole thing in one setting, it puts, in my opinion, a whole new perspective on what you need to do and how you need to live your life. So don't really have time to go over every single thing in here. So we're just going to pick up a few of the highlights and discuss those at this particular time, because if we went through this whole thing verse for verse, we probably wouldn't actually be through by the time tonight's service was over. So let's see here. We'll start with verse 21. All right. It says, if you have heard of old that is said by them of old, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in dangerous judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of judgment, and whosoever shall call his brother Raca shall be in danger of counsel, and whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hellfire. And to break that down into its simplest terms, you're supposed to love everybody, treat everybody with a good heart, whether you agree with them or not, whether you agree with what lifestyle they've got, you're still supposed to love them. You're supposed to let them know what they're doing wrong, show them that what they're doing is wrong, but still love them. You have to love them in your heart. Don't hate them. Hate the sin. Don't hate the person. And honestly, and I'm going to be the first to admit it, that right there is probably the hardest thing for me personally that there ever was, because I had all kinds of hate. I had a cold heart. I truly did. I had an extremely cold heart. And it's taken a little bit of time. I love everybody. I always have. But I was going that one extra step whenever I was correcting somebody or, you know, talking about somebody or, you know what I'm saying, talking about their lifestyle to them. I was doing that one extra step that I really shouldn't have been taking. So I had to back up a little bit, regroup, and understand what God was trying to tell me. So, but you're supposed to love your brother. You're not supposed to call him a fool. You're not supposed to cuss at him, which is ultimately what Raca means, yelling and cussing and, you know, showing your butt towards them. Supposed to love them, correct them, explain to them what they're doing, explain to them biblically what they're doing. And some of these people out there, they don't want no part of this because, you know, their father is Satan. But nonetheless, you're still supposed to let them know, whether it be biblical or not. A lot of these things are just morally wrong, which, by the way, comes from the Bible, but they're not accepted in society either. You know what I'm saying? The society as a whole. Of course, they're doing their damnedest to change that as quickly as they can. You know, we've talked many times right here about how they're trying to make this hate speech. you know. So if you go out there like this one young fellow that I was talking to and tell him, hey, you don't need to be sleeping with every woman. You're only supposed to sleep with just your wife. Or you're talking to one of these that don't know what they are. You explain to them, hey, you're an abomination by doing what you're doing. You need to back up, regroup, think about what you're doing. And then on top of that, you can also throw statistics at them because statistically, and this is proven, I mean, it's documented proof, that statistically, after about a year of doing that crazy stuff, you know, I'm talking about the sex change and all that stuff, statistically, over 80% of them commit suicide. Statistically, 80% of those people commit suicide within a year to 2 years of doing that stuff. So give them facts, both biblically and, you know, society type facts, scientific facts to show them that they're doing wrong. Explain to them, hey, I can help you now. Once you go over that step there, ain't much I can do for you. You know, you're in the hands of God at that point, but you can help them out. You can guide them. You can counsel them. You can show them the right path. Be there, because a lot of times all these people want is attention anyway. Honestly, that's all they want is attention. Be there so that you can talk to them. You know, a lot of times they just need somebody to talk to, because if the only people you're talking to are like-minded people, and those like-minded people are on Satan's side, you start showing them a whole different thing, start shining that flashlight in them because you're supposed to be the light. And then all of a sudden, maybe that little bitty small pin flashlight you've got to start getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and it'll turn into one of these great big spotlights, you know, that shine up in the air that you can see for 100 miles away. And they may start backing away from some of these things that they're doing. It takes time and perseverance. But you got to continuously talk to them, continuously work on them. Be sitting up there chipping away at all these things. And I firmly believe if God tells you to talk to somebody, you know, putting it in your heart, you need to talk to this person, then he's already knocking on that door of that person anyway. He's going to help you out. He's going to show you what you need to say, what you need to do. You know, Satan's going to be fighting with him constantly. So there's going to be that little bit of battle going on there. But we know in the end, God always wins out. Okay, so again, like I said from the very beginning, everything's a choice, heaven or hell. There's no in-betweens. And I've heard many people say, well, I can't believe in a God that sends me to hell, to burn in eternal damnation. I can't believe in a God that does that. Well, newsflash, God ain't sending you to hell. You're sending yourself to hell because you had the choice. When God knocked on your door, if Christ knocked on your door and you didn't open it, you made a conscious decision right then and there. And he's still going to come back. He's still going to knock on the door. He's still going to try to get you. He's going to send people like you and I to do the knocking as well. And if you consciously keep denying, sooner or later he's going to give up on you because you're just too far gone, turn you over to the reprobate mind, and write you off. Okay? But if you keep chipping away, because you can see, even with the two gentlemen that I was talking to, I can see by the chipping away, you know, a little bitty chips here and there, that I'm making progress. Whether in the end they'll come to the Lord, I don't know. Only the good Lord above knows that. But he did impress upon me that I needed to talk to them and talk to them on a regular basis, to keep doing that chipping away, breaking away that crust that's over them so they can see better. You know what I'm saying? And on one of them, my flashlight's done got big. On one of them, I went from a pin light to a regular flashlight. So, know, it's, I'm making progress, but whether I make the full progress, I don't know, I'd say. All right, so let's jump down to 24, or 23 now. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest thy brother hath against thee, leave thy gift there, leave thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First, reconcile to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him. Lest any time thy adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, thou be cast into prison. Again, that's truly getting back to loving everybody. If you love everybody, you're not going to be angry with them. You'll be able to reconcile whatever differences that you have with anybody, and that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to reconcile all your faults or all your arguments that you may have with friends, family, and all that stuff. And in my opinion, what he's ultimately getting at here is you don't know how much time that you have left, so you need to reconcile all that stuff before you're in front of the altar of God, so to speak, on your judgment day. And that's ultimately what I think he's trying to impress upon us. You need to do all that stuff quickly as possible. You have heard it said that in old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her in his heart. Okay. I'm going to be honest with you. In today's age, that one thing right there is truly hard for a man. It truly is. You see women out there literally showing everything they got. You know, literally showing everything they got. Tempting men. You know, if you're not a true 100% God-fearing man, and then just have to look away. The average person out there, I mean, they can't help it. And then on top of that, they wonder why a man's looking at them. Why are you looking at me? You're not wearing nothing. I mean, you're showing everything you got. Some of these pants that they're wearing literally look like just paint on them. I mean, you literally see everything God gave them. And then a lot of them don't even wear clothes. I worked at O'Reilly's in Radcliffe, okay? Just the other day, a woman come in there. I swore she was wearing her underwear, just panties and a bra. Unbelievable. I mean, they come in, it just blows your mind. I mean, then there's nothing left to the imagination anymore. People have absolutely no self-respect. They have zero self-respect anymore. Not only because they're doing that, they don't only have self-respect, but they don't have respect for the other people around them or for the kids that may be walking around and seeing that stuff. They have absolutely zero respect for anything or anybody. It's terrible. Let's see here. And the next one is talking about divorce. The pastor I know has talked about that one many, many times. So I'm not going to really get into that too much. But ultimately what it says, one man, one wife, you don't divorce her. Saving for the cause of fornication. Otherwise, the woman and the man that marries her after the fact is committing adultery. And not only that, but if you marry another woman after the fact, then you're also committing adultery. So by that one divorce, you got four people now committing adultery. So it just gets exponentiated over the course of time because some people's been married 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times. That's a whole lot of adultery going on there. Let's see. All right, we're going to flip over here to chapter 6 real quick, and I'd like to say I don't want to go too far, but the next thing is talking about how to pray and how to do things whenever you do things for God. Don't go around bragging about them. Don't go around letting everybody know that you're doing something. Do it because you want to do it. Do it because God told you to do it in your heart. Don't do it so everybody else in the world can see that you're out there doing it. You know, if you was to come into a lot of money and you want to donate to whatever charity or whatever thing, don't let nobody know that you did it. Just give them the money and move on. Or if you see somebody out there that's hungry or something, leave them some food, but don't let them know that you're the one that did it. Or if you want to swing by like a homeless shelter and leave some clothes and some food, don't go in there and let everybody in the world, you know, walk in shaking your hands, letting everybody in the world know that it's you that's doing it. Just bring the stuff in, leave it, and go on about your business. And the same thing with prayer. You're supposed to go into your closet and pray privately so that nobody else knows that you're in there praying except for God. Don't be, you know, making a show of the fact that you're praying. Because ultimately, people's going to know that you're a good person and a good Christian just by the way you act and by the way you present yourself and by the light that comes off of you. Because once you become a good, saved, born-again Christian, you will have that light, and that light will shine from you automatically. There won't be no question about it. You won't have to go out there and do things like that. I'm going to go ahead and stop right there because it's already getting close. But, again, I would highly recommend somebody read this whole thing together. Understand time is short. It's a lot shorter than people think. I'm gonna throw this out there. Some people will go, you're nuts, you're a conspiracy theorist, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, they'll just say, well, the Bible says that, you know, you can't know the day or the hour of the rapture or the day or the hour of his coming and all that stuff. That's not entirely true. True, you won't know the day or the hour. Day or hour. It pretty plainly states that right now we don't have a clue. I'll be the first to admit that right now we don't have a clue. But it does tell us in several places you'll know the season, and we are definitely in that season. Just for example, in Hosea actually tells us that it'll be 2,000 years till he returns. Well, guess what? We're at the 2,000-year mark, literally at the 2,000-year mark. And depending on which calendar or which, because calendars have changed over the course of the last 2,000 years, and some of this stuff's messed up, the crucifixion based off of, you know, because there's been a lot of changes over the course of the time, so we don't know precisely when he was born and precisely when he was crucified. It could have been in the year 27 AD or it could have been in the year 30 AD. But if you take the 2,000-year thing and it was in the year 27, then we're literally at the, and subtract 12 or 7 from that, we literally could be at the beginning stages of 7-year tribulation right now. Not saying that we are. Who knows? It just says after two days, which would be 2,000 years. So we're definitely in the season. Without a shadow of a doubt, we're definitely in that season. And then on top of that, we know from several places in Scripture, and two of them are straight out of Christ's own mouth. It literally says that it won't come until, he won't return until after the son of perdition is identified. Well, once that happens, then it tells you how many days you have left. So there you go. You know exactly how much time you got left after, once that point comes up. So at that point, that's what you definitely need to be looking up. So, and like I say, with the way things have been changing in the world so quickly over the last year, 2 years, you know, you got to be ready. I mean, you got to be ready now. And if your faith is weak, you need to get your faith strong. Again, look at what's going on in Afghanistan. Last week, they were in church. This week, they're being beheaded. Seriously, I mean, it's happened just that quick. That's why it's important to understand the Bible. It's important to understand what it takes for you to go to heaven. And it's important for you to build your faith, because if you don't have faith, whenever they come to chop your head off, and that's exactly what the Bible says is going to happen, whenever they come to chop your head off, you're going to back up. No, I think I'll praise Allah instead of Jesus Christ. You know, you got to have that faith. And I've said for many years that the Antichrist, the son of perdition, that this whole new world government is going to be, it's going to be Muslim. It's going to be Islam that's taken over. I've said that for many years. The Bible plainly states that he's going to be a Persian. Well, guess where Persia is? You know, it's in that part of the world over there. So you start putting little bits and pieces together. Look at the fact of what's going on between Turkey and Iran. Look at what's going on between Turkey, Iran, and Syria. One of the things that has to happen is Damascus has to be completely obliterated, non-livable. It ain't far from that right now. It truly ain't. And that's happening on a daily basis. You got people, all these countries shooting rockets inside of Israel. Then you throw in the Abrahamic Accord, which is getting all the southern countries to unite. And then you got the northern countries, you know, which is Iran, Iraq, Syria, and Iran and Turkey and all them. Well, now you got the Gog-Magog alliance, you know, fighting against each other, the king of the north and the king of the south. I mean, it's all happening all right now. It's literally happening right now. It's happening slowly, and if you're not familiar with what the Bible says, you may not understand what's truly going on in the world. That's why it's, again, very important for you to pick this book up and understand what it's saying. You know, 70 plus years ago, there was this group called Nazis, which was a political organization, by the way, and they slowly transformed Germany. It happens slowly, just like it's happening in our country right now. The exact matter of fact, they're Nazis. They're calling themselves Nazis. They're not saying the word Nazi because that's a bad word, but they're calling themselves National Socialists. That's what Nazis stood for, National Socialist Party of Germany. That's literally what it stood for. And they're a political party as well. They're pushing an agenda. They're literally Nazis. Same group, pushing the exact same agenda, going the same way, following the same rule book, doing exactly the same things. And guess what happened there, okay? It was the Jews. Here it's going to be the Christians. Same thing, the exact same thing, following the exact same model, following the exact same playbook, and it's happening right before your eyes. And people go, you know, after the fact, they were going, well, why didn't all the Jews leave? I would ask you, why are the Christians leaving? Because we see it's coming. I mean, history repeats itself. The exact same thing is truly happening right now. You got to stand up, be firm. You got to fight back. Fight back with this book, with the Word of God. You know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about going out and shooting people. I'm just talking about, you know, you got to fight evil is what I'm talking about. And that's literally what's going on in the world. All right, with that, I'm going to go ahead and stop because I'm fixing to get on a rant. I don't need to do that. We'll be here forever, and it'll turn into some kind of political thing anyway. So I don't want to do that either. So with that, again, please pick up your Bible. Please pray for the Christians that are being slaughtered in Afghanistan and, for that matter, around the world. I do have one other thing that I wanted to mention. It just popped in my head. I was doing some reading. Did you know that in this country, right here, matter of fact, even in this state, what religion is growing faster than any other religion in the world? Witchcraft. Believe it or not, witchcraft. There are literally more witches in the state of Kentucky than there are professing Christians. There truly is. It just blew my mind. Now, when I say that, Whenever they use the term witchcraft, it encompasses all paganism, all the pagan religions, you know. But there are more. And you can see it around you because some of them they think, you know, well, I'm a white witch or I'm just a tree hugger, which is the same thing because they're worshiping Mother Earth and not God. That's still paganism. All the tree huggers out there, I mean, all the ones that are pushing all these green agendas and all this stuff, this the same thing. It's all witchcraft. They're worshiping Mother Earth or Gaia, which is Mother Earth, instead of worshiping God. Just look around. I mean, you can see it all the time. I hate to say it, but I firmly believe in my heart of hearts that you cannot be a liberal. Notice I didn't say a Democrat or a Republican. You cannot be a liberal and be a Christian. It's physically impossible to do both. While all Democrats are liberals, or all liberals are Democrats, I should say, there are a few Republicans. That's the reason I didn't separate Republican and Democrat. You got, in my opinion, liberals and conservatives. You got people that love Satan, and you got people that love God. I'm not saying that all Republicans love God. I'm not saying that. And I'm certainly not saying that all Democrats love Satan. However, if you was to take the two parties together, liberals do everything for Satan. Look at what they're doing. They're killing babies. And the Bible talks about killing babies in the Bible because they were throwing them into the fire for a sacrifice. Same thing's happening now. They just call it abortion. They're still sacrificing those babies to the devil. I mean, I don't care how you want to make it sound good. There's nothing good about killing a baby. That's murder. It's just straight up murder. Yeah, I better stop. I'm fixing to get on a rant. So, again, everybody, please read your Bibles. Please understand the Word of God. Please seek spiritual counseling from whoever you can seek it from. Well, I shouldn't say that. Don't get it from whoever you can get it from. That's fine. Talk to the pastor, talk to myself, talk to Pastor Kenny. If you need to talk to anybody, I'm always available. I'm always welcome. Matter of fact, I'll give everybody my phone number. I highly suggest you text instead of call because I do a lot of working and I don't necessarily hear the phone whenever it rings. But if anybody wants my phone number, I'm always available. And just because I may not answer immediately don't mean that I won't. Like I say, if you do reach out to me, please send it in text form. That way I can actually get it because a lot of times I'm out where I don't have service and then my phone wouldn't ring anyway. So I do get text messages because I'm always in and out of service. I can be in one room of my house and not have service and in another room and have all kinds of service. So, I mean, it's just the way this part of the world over here is. But it's area code 270-317-0635. Again, 270-317-0635. My name is Dennis Lee. And again, you're more than welcome to reach out to me about anything. And I'm here. I'm not going to say that I know everything, because I don't. Be the first to admit I don't. But I do promise you, if it's in the Bible, I can find it, and I'll get you straight on it. All right, with that said, everybody, God bless. Have a wonderful day. Turn it back over to the pastor.
Well, thank you, Brother Dennis. You know, God always has a way of witnessing most everything. And those that are here and listening to us this morning all know that where God put you for this morning, He had put me there Thursday.
Brother.
And He's going to be putting me back there again tonight or this evening. Because that Sermon on the Mount is actually the longest sermon in the Bible. And it has a whole lot in it. As I told them Thursday night, you ain't going to get through all of that in one service. He did, but he was out there all day. And we don't take that long anymore, like he did. But we're going to be back into it again tonight. But that just lets you know, God's got his way of witnessing everything. For some reason, he really wanted that teaching here. Because he's given it to both of us. And we're going to be back into it tonight, so I am going to ask everybody to be here tonight. I know you got to work. If you get a chance, you call in. All right. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for a place and a time that we can come to study and to share your word with others. And your saints, Father, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their need. And Father, for Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And Father, for this land of ours, may we all remember to keep this land in prayer, a land that was, government was formed upon your word, Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And now has taken him out of every place where he was at, trying to do away with him, wanting him made out of our prayers. But Father, that'll never happen. For those that are your children, we'll always stand with your word, with the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll never give him up. But Father, we know times are getting perilous. A lot of troubled times. We know also too that you never leave us. You never forsake us. You're always there to see us through. So help us, Father, to remove from office those that are standing against your church, against the Lord Jesus Christ, and help us to replace them with those that, Father, will work with the church and work with and for the Lord Jesus Christ. helping to put him back in every place he's been taken out of, and putting our government back upon the foundation of which it was founded, and that being your word in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, for our prayer list, as each name is called, we ask the Holy Spirit to touch that one, to fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Amy, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, Terry Coates, Dennis Breeden, his wife Tina, the brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, Father, for Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church of Irvington, for Pastor Luke Bess and the Church of God of Brandenburg, Pastor Randy Johnson, for the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, for Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, we lift them up, put them in your hands. You know what is needed there. And that little full gospel church of God at Akron, Father, not only a lighthouse, but make it a place of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. For our friends there in Pakistan, Father, Pastor Arun Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron, Father, keep them safe. Keep them in health and see to their needs, because we know that they walk in places that can mean death and imprisonment. The Johnson family, the Branson family, the Lee family, my wife's family, my family, Father, and all the families who will hear this message. May the Holy Spirit work within these families, turning those that are walking in darkness from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus, so that none be lost and all can find heaven as their home. For Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mombillo, and her mother, for Sue, for Palance Goodman, for Jim Taylor, for Casey Smith, for Kelly Smith and his wife, for Henry Craycroft, for Karen, Father, all of these, they stand in need of a healing touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. We lift them up now, Father, and we ask for that healing touch to be brought by the Holy Spirit to each and every one of them, making them whole, Father. Now, Father, for this place of worship, it's yours, it's not mine. Make it what you will, Father, and use me in a mighty and great way, not to lift me up, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, this is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And remember now, God willing, we can all be together again at 6 p.m. this evening. We'll be back into the Word of God. So until then, have a good day. Bye-bye now.